朋友们，大家好，今天是4月23号，星期四，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国国会众议院外交事务委员会亚太小组委员会主席阿米贝拉议员最近接受美国之音记者张佩芝的专访，他谈到在疫情爆发的初期，中国的反应十分不恰当，缺乏透明度，并且散播虚假信息。他说，中国如果想成为全球的领导者，就必须保持透明。我们今天来看专访的第二部分。
Congressman, let's turn to talk about the current state of U.S.-China relations as it relates to the COVID-19 pandemic. Do you think the Chinese government could have done more to share with information with the United States when the outbreak first happened in Wuhan, China?
I think China's response when we were seeing the first reports of the outbreak were totally inappropriate. You know, we wanted to send the best scientists from the CDC, the NIH, and from around the world to the hotspot.Not just to protect the United States, but to help China understand this disease and get ahead of it. You know, the lack of transparency, I think, was appalling. And I think it's shocking to many of us around the world. I hope the lesson learned here is if we find ourselves in a situation like this, we have to work together because it affects all of us.
There seems to be a lot of information that we don't know, and the Trump administration has requested information from China. As a member of Congress, what kind of information would you like for China to provide right now to, for you to understand, for us to understand more about this outbreak?
We know the virus originated in Wuhan. You know, was it accidental from one of the wet markets jumping to humans?Yeah, there's these reports of State Department cables of potentially lax safety standards at some of the labs. You know, looking backwards and trying to blame one another and play politics doesn't help anyone. But let's actually understand where this virus came from, how it jumped to humans, and how it spread. That requires, if China wants to be a global leader, if they want to set an example for the world, they can't be secretive. Global leaders have to take responsibility for the good things and the bad things.And they have to work together with the entire global world. This is a chance for China to show its leadership by allowing people to come in and studying it and not hiding data and facts, because we want to make sure we understand this virus so it will help us recover, but we also want to prevent the next pandemic.
The COVID-19 outbreak began in China, but right now Beijing is conducting a widespread disinformation campaign to change that narrative. For example, a Chinese foreign ministry spokesperson took to Twitter to say that it may be the U.S. military brought the virus to Wuhan. What are your responses to these kind of spurious claims and unfounded conspiracy theories?
I think conspiracy theories, fake claims like,hey, it may have started in the United States or elsewhere, just don't help anything. You know, let's deal with the facts. Let's be adults about this. Disinformation, lack of transparency doesn't help anyone. And again, if China wants to be taken seriously as a global leader, it has to act the part.
So what kind of actions can the United States take to counter this disinformation or misinformation campaign?
Look, I think...Everyone in the scientific world and in the medical world and around the globe understands where this virus came from. That's fine. Let's figure out how this virus jumped to humans. Let's figure out how the virus spread so quickly, and let's better understand it. You know, that started in China. So they can do whatever disinformation they want, but that's not acting like an adult or a global leader. I don't think now's the time for the United States and China to get into a political war. But unfortunately, you see some of that happening. I think this is a time for the two world's largest economies to work together, both to help each other's countries, but also the world is going to need this as this virus spreads to the Southern Hemisphere and other places.
Many foreign policy observers are saying that the era of U.S.-China cooperation is over. You mentioned a part of that, that you would like to see some cooperation. Do you agree with that kind of assessment?
I think the relationship between the United States and China, and really the Western world and a large part of the world in China, is going to be different as we come out of this pandemic. Now, China has a role in defining, you know, what that relationship is. If they solely act in a dishonest, lack and lack transparency and don't help the rest of the world combat this virus, then I think it'll be a very different relationship. On the other hand, if they show leadership, if they work with the rest of the Western world and the developing world, and if they have transparency so we can understand the pandemic and the virus that's in front of us, then you know what, maybe it will, you know, allow them to show that they are that global leader.
What message would you like to send to our audience in China?
You know, to the audience in China, a virus doesn't understand borders. It doesn't understand your religion, the color of your skin. This is a virus, and it's affected the entire planet. I'm not here to, as a doctor and a member of Congress, I'm not here to place blame anywhere, but I am here to express concern that we have to work together to understand this virus, which killed a lot of Chinese nationals, but also to help prepare and prevent the next virus. So the world is in this together, and this is the time for China to step up its leadership, work with the rest of the world, and be transparent so we have a good understanding of what happened.
Thank you so much, Congressman Barra, for your time and speaking with Voice of America.
美国总统特朗普说，他无法核实朝鲜最高领导人金正恩的健康情况。不过，他祝愿金正恩平安。另外，他还表示，他已经获得了有关新冠病毒是否来自中国武汉病毒实验室的充分情报。最后，他说，他将在星期三签署暂停移民60天的行政命令。我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。 根据韩国以及美国媒体的报道，朝鲜最高领导人金正恩在医院当中斗完手术之后，目前情况危急。星期二的时候呢，白宫的国家安全顾问阿布兰在白宫当中接受媒体访问的时候表示，他并没有确认也没有否认这项报道，只说呢，美国方面会继续密切观察局势。而特朗普总统在星期二晚上的白宫新闻简报会上呢，也是说没有办法确认金正恩现在的情况，但是呢，他祝愿
Well, these are reports that came out, and we don't know. We don't know. I've had a very good relationship with him. I wouldn't, you know, I can only say this. I wish him well, because if he is in the kind of condition that the reports say, that the news is saying, that would be a, that's a very serious condition, as you know. But I wish him well. We've had a good relationship. I've said it, and I've said it many times. If somebody else were in this position, we would have been right now at war with North Korea. And we're not at war, and we're nowhere close to war with North Korea. So I just have to say to Kim Jong-un, I wish him very, you know, good luck. Good luck. I mean, they came out with very, very serious medical reports. Nobody's confirmed that. It's it was CNN that came out. So when CNN comes out with a report, I don't place too much credence in it.
那么截至美国时间4月22号星期三的中午为止呢，美国境内感染了新型冠状病毒的人数大约达到了83万人，而死亡人数呢，则大约是46000人。 那在白宫的新型冠状病毒疫情的简报会上呢，特朗普总统被问到美国的情报部门是否已经查出来到底这个病毒是不是来自武汉的实验室，对此呢，特朗普总统做出了回应。
First on China, have U.S. intelligence analysts told you that they think that the virus escaped from a Chinese research lab, that it was an infection?
Well, I can't tell you that. Have U.S. intelligence agents told me? I mean, what kind of a question is that?
Do you feel
I can't. Do you want me to tell you? Oh, let me tell you what they told me. Look, they told me plenty. They told me plenty.
那特朗普总统呢，在星期一的晚上，借由他的推特表示说呢，为了因应新型冠状病毒给美国经济带来的冲击，他将会宣布暂停移民进入美国。那么呢，在星期二的时候，他也表示说，现在这个行政命令正在撰写，预计在星期三的时候将会签署，并且公布更多的细节。那么在星期二晚上的白宫新闻简报会上呢，特朗普总统表示，这个行政命令将会影响到申请绿卡的人。
Therefore, in order to protect American workers, I will be issuing a temporary suspension of immigration into the United States. You heard about that last night. By pausing immigration, we'll help put unemployed Americans first in line for jobs as America reopens. So important. It would be wrong and unjust for Americans laid off by the virus to be replaced with new immigrant labor flown in from abroad. We must first take care of the American worker, take care of the American worker. This pause will be in effect for 60 days, after which the need for any extension or modification will be evaluated by myself and a group of people based on economic conditions at the time. This order will only apply to individuals seeking a permanent residency. In other words, those receiving green cards, big factor, will not apply to those entering on a temporary basis. As we move forward, we'll examine what additional immigration-related measures should be put in place to protect U.S. workers.
而根据福克斯新闻网的报道呢，其实因为疫情的关系，美国的国务院已经停止这个所有的签证的申请好几个礼拜了。而特朗普总统呢，也以疫情的理由来拒绝接纳难民，包括逃难而来的小孩或儿童。与此同时呢，几个南方州虽然没有达到白宫新型冠状病毒工作小组规定的重启经济活动的第一阶段标准，但是呢，现在都已经准备要重新开放经济活动了。不过对此呢，许多的当地官员还有卫生专家都对此表示担心。而美国疾病预防与管制中心 CDC 的主任雷德菲尔德则表示，预计呢今年的冬天可能会爆发第二波的疫情，而且呢情况会比第一波的疫情还来得更加严重。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫前的报道。
国际人权组织国际特赦发表的年度报告显示，过去一年来全球执行死刑的数量是十年来最低的，不过中国的数量仍然是最多。我们来看报道。
国际特赦组织的报告说，2019年五个执行死刑最多的国家依次是中国，有至少上千人，伊朗、沙特阿拉伯、伊拉克和埃及。报告表示，无法获得中国官方执行死刑人数的统计，因为这类数字在中国仍然保密。不过国际特赦相信应该是数以千计。国际特赦还称，其他一些主要死刑国家，包括伊朗、朝鲜和越南等，继续掩藏各自使用死刑的情况，限制外界获取执行死刑的信息。国际特赦强调，缺乏透明度的情况使得确认许多国家的执行死刑人数非常困难，相信具体执行死刑人数应当更高。报告表示，全球有106个国家从法律上废除了所有犯罪行为的死刑惩罚，142个国家从法律及执行层面都取消了死刑。美国之音新闻报道。
记者无国界组织最近发布了2020世界新闻自由指数报告，其中挪威荣登榜首，而中国排在第177名。来看报道。
在今年新闻自由度排名的180个国家中，挪威继续荣登榜首，这是挪威连续四年获得这一荣誉，接下来是芬兰、丹麦、瑞典和荷兰。在前十名中，欧洲国家占了7个，中国排名第177位，倒数第四，与厄立特里亚、土库曼斯坦、朝鲜排在最后四名。这份报告说，这次排名与部分国家在新冠疫情中打压媒体自由的程度有直接关联。排名第117的中国和排名第173的伊朗都在疫情爆发初期在国内进行了广泛的内容与信息审查。无国界记者组织表示，中国当局在2020年2月逮捕了至少三名公民记者，阻止他们报道疫情真相。据该组织统计，目前中国是全球关押记者最多的国家，大约有100人，绝大多数是维吾尔人。无国界记者秘书长德洛瓦说，新冠疫情给威权政府一个施行震撼主义的机会，让他们假借防控疫情的名义，通过一些平常无法实行的措施。这份报告对中国疫情爆发初期压制信息的做法提出了批评。报告认为，如果中国的新闻记者有自由报道的权利，这次全球大流行是可以避免的，或者至少不会像现在这样惨烈。无国界记者组织英国分部主任瑞贝卡·温森特在接受 CNN 采访的时候表示，如果中国有新闻自由，如果那些吹哨人不被封杀，那么这场大流行就有可能得以阻止，而不会发展成现在的病毒大流行。温森特说，人们往往只是从理论上谈论新闻自由，但这次却表明新闻自由有时候是造成真实的影响的，它能够影响到我们的健康。美国之音综合报道。
新发布的一项民意调查显示，有三分之二的美国人对中国持负面态度，而有将近90%的美国人认为中国是一种威胁。我们来看报道。
皮尤研究中心星期二发布的这份民调指出，约66%的受访美国人对中国持负面看法，创下皮尤自2005年开始此项调查以来的最高水平。调查还发现，约90%的美国人将中国的影响力和实力视为一种威胁，其中62%的人认为这是主要威胁。皮尤中心称，贸易赤字等经济因素仍然是美国公众关注的关键问题。其他问题包括中国的人权政策和环境恶化，也让美国人感到担忧。皮尤中心的这项调查从3月3日至3月29日对1000名成年人进行了民意调查。从党派来看，72%的共和党人对中国持负面态度，民主党人对中国持负面看法的则为62%。此外，美国人对中国国家主席习近平的信心也处于历史低点。大约70%的受访者表示，对习近平在国际事务中做正确的事情没有信心。只有22%的人说他们对中国领导人有信心，这一数字较去年下降了15个百分点。美国之音新闻报道。
疫情给美国的食品供应链带来了冲击，有好几家肉类加工厂接连因为疫情而关闭，引发了人们对于猪肉供给以及价格的担忧。与此同时，已经经历了2年中美贸易战的美国猪农们现在也面临前所未有的挑战。我们来看美国之音记者卡拉和王平的报道。
新冠疫情持续蔓延，泰森、史密斯菲尔德等食品加工企业在多个州的工厂接连关闭，导致有关肉类供给的担忧。
I want to assure you, the American food supply is strong, resilient, and safe.
美国猪肉生产者协会表示，目前猪肉加工厂仍然维持着93%的产能，目前消费者不用担心猪肉供给的问题。但对于猪肉的生产者来说，新冠疫情无疑使行业困境雪上加霜。
U.S. pork producers have been experiencing a labor shortage for some time. We just don't have enough available workers in our plant communities and in our hog farm communities. And then you have COVID happens and the crisis begins, and that just exacerbates the existing labor situation with plant closures, rising worker absenteeism.Is resulting in even more restricted plant capacity, which means hogs are backing up on farms. They have nowhere to be marketed.
餐厅关门导致消耗骤减，加工厂关闭，多地农作物和农产品滞销堆积。对猪农来说，最大的悲剧就是牲畜无处可去。
that's the tragedy in all this, is that there is nowhere else for them to go. And so farmers are doing everything they can to try to make space on their farms. You know, we're changing the ingredients and the feed that we're feeding our hogs to try to get them to not grow quite as fast, but you can't stop them from growing completely. And then we're trying to hold back the younger pigs and not move them right away.
违背生产常规的措施效果有限，很快这些猪就会超过屠宰场愿意接收的重量，变得一文不值，牲畜占用的空间也会越来越大，给安全卫生造成隐患。普斯汀说，牲畜的健康是猪农的红线，顶多再有2-4周的时间，如果情况仍未好转，猪农将不得不采取极端措施。
The worst case scenario that most producers don't even want to really think about would be producers would have to euthanize some of the pigs on their farm. But that would literally break the hearts of producers who would have to do that, because we've spent a lot of time and effort raising these animals and keeping them healthy and in order for them to provide food for people, and that just euthanizing a perfectly good pig goes against everything that producers stand for.
但面临财政困境的猪农别无选择。年初，一系列贸易协定签署，关税降低。猪肉生产者协会原本预计每头猪可以让猪农净赚$10。然而，新冠疫情爆发后，爱荷华大学经济学家保守估算，今年猪农将继续亏损，每头猪损失$37。
Things were starting to pick up, and prices had recovered, and producers were finally able to kind of start to make a little money again. And then everything with the coronavirus started, and now things are worse than they ever were before. So the reality is a lot of producers were already stretched pretty thin over the last couple of years, and so they don't have a lot of cushion to weather another big problem like this.
普斯汀的家庭农场预计今年的损失要超过$1,000,000，全美约60,000个养猪农场总计损失约$500,000,000。门罗认为，参考现在的疫情影响范围，实际损失将远大于这个数字。
If you go through a sustained period of time like we're having right now, and if we don't address and extend a lifeline to hog farmers who are in a dire situation right now, many of them will go out of business, and that could over time result in higher prices for consumers. So that's not a good thing. And we're looking at doing without immediate steps.To provide financial aid and massive USDA purchases of pork, we're looking at doing long-term damage to a very, very competitive farm sector in the United States.
农业部承诺大量购买猪肉，对猪农发放$16亿的补贴。然而，这对弥补猪肉行业面临的损失仍然是杯水车薪。美国之音王平、卡拉，华盛顿报道。
4月22日是世界地球日，而今年的地球日有一些不同寻常。由于人们都待在家里，防止新冠病毒的传播，野生动物的活动增加了，有些地方的空气质量也上升了。来看报道。
在威尔士小镇兰迪诺德，山羊把持了道路。当局采取的封锁措施在很大程度上清除了交通和街道上的人流，因此自然界得到蓬勃发展。一项未经计划的大型实验正在改变地球。随着世界各地的人们为防止新冠病毒传播而待在家里，动物开始出现在他们经常不去冒险的地方。一只野生美洲豹在智利圣地亚哥四处寻觅，土狼在旧金山的金门大桥观景台徘徊。往常那里可是游客云集的圣地。由于人类干扰和灯光污染的减少，世界各地的海龟都敢于在曾经避之不及的海滩上产卵。大约10年来，名为利龟的海龟第一次在印度孟加拉湾的海岸旁筑巢，这让科学家们充满希望。对于濒危动物来说，它们将在繁殖季节取得巨大成功。
It is giving a unique insight into the impacts that we humans haveupon the environment in many ways. We are beginning to see wildlife that we had not expected to be there. We are seeing clear skies. We're seeing views of mountains that only our grandparents told us about. We're seeing a reduction of pollution. It is giving us this quite extraordinary insight into just how much of a mess we humans are making of our beautiful planet.
新德里令人窒息的雾霾停止了，那是地球上污染最严重的城市之一。印度几十年来被锁在雾霾中的风景也开始显露出来。美国东北部的二氧化氮污染下降了30%，罗马的空气污染水平同比下降了一半以上。
One of the problems that we have is this sort of creeping progression of environmental degradation. It gets worse and we get worse. And this is giving us opportunity to magically see how much better it could be. And I hope we'll learn the lessons from that. It won't be easy, but it will tell us what we could achieve if we really put our minds to it.
研究人员说，他们渴望探索杂草、昆虫、降雨形态、噪声和光线污染、云层，甚至每天冷热气温的峰值。最明显的变化是空气更加清洁。美国国家航空航天局和其他机构注意到较传统的空气污染物，例如二氧化氮、雾霾和有害微粒的急剧下降。在车流量大幅减少之后，从波士顿到华盛顿的美国95号洲际公路上的空气是自2005年以来最清新的。中国的空气污染状况自12月以来也有所改善。美国之音电视报道。
今天我们一起去认识一下纽约的一名出租车司机和两名杂货店老板。尽管在新冠疫情的冲击之下，他们不得不坚守岗位，我们一起去看一看。
在新冠疫情大流行之前，美国最嘈杂的城市纽约也经常是人们关注的焦点。突然，新冠病毒让它全部关闭。尼古拉·亨特是一名出租车司机，他仍旧在空旷的街道上行驶，为的是发现屈指可数的要继续上班的人。
I used to have like 20 plus customers a day. Now I have 5, 6, 7. So I used to make, you know, least easy $300 a day plus. Now, if I make 100, I can be lucky.
这位63岁的老人开出租车已经超过30年了。这些日子他得花一个多小时才能得到第一笔车费，不过他知道在哪里可以找到生意，去西奈山医院。
Hospital workers, they change at between 7 and 8 p.m. So once you finish with those last jobs, one or two, if you are lucky you can get two or one, but then it's no reason to stay on the street because nobody.
Around 59th Street.
这座城市传奇的交通几乎消失，没有白领在傍晚高峰时段招呼他，也没有人群在球赛或其他活动后赶路回家。但他说他必须生活养家糊口。他说他等不及政府救济，因为不知道政府救济什么时候能够发下来。跟亨特不同的是，巴蒂斯达兄弟不了解他们杂货店对社区邻里有多重要，直到一切开始停摆才有所领悟。
There was a man that called us 2 days ago. Everything is closed. He's like, I don't know what I will do without you. The man's 85 years old. So we're like, you know what? Even if we close down, if I have to go to my house and cook food for you, I'll do it for you.
多年来，纽约的街角商店一直是方便的购物场所，从洗洁精到芝士汉堡，什么都有。
It's been ghost town. Like a lot of people used to come in.You know, the workers from the hardware store, plumbing supplies, all the offices around here, they used to come in for lunchtime and breakfast, and like, you don't get that kind of crowd no more.
兄弟俩说，他们的营业额下降了30%-40%，可他们感到从没有跟社区如此的亲近。美国之音记者迪亚洛报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。 今天是4月23号，星期四，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国国会众议院外交事务委员会亚太小组委员会主席阿米贝拉议员最近接受美国之音记者张佩芝的专访，他谈到在疫情爆发的初期，中国的反应十分不恰当，缺乏透明度，并且散播虚假信息。他说，中国如果想成为全球的领导者，就必须保持透明。我们今天来看专访的第二部分。
Congressman, let's turn to talk about the current state of U.S.-China relations as it relates to the COVID-19 pandemic. Do you think the Chinese government could have done more to share with information with the United States when the outbreak first happened in Wuhan, China?
I think China's response when we were seeing the first reports of the outbreak were totally inappropriate. You know, we wanted to send the best scientists from the CDC, the NIH, and from around the world to the hotspot.Not just to protect the United States, but to help China understand this disease and get ahead of it. You know, the lack of transparency, I think, was appalling. And I think it's shocking to many of us around the world. I hope the lesson learned here is if we find ourselves in a situation like this, we have to work together because it affects all of us.
There seems to be a lot of information that we don't know, and the Trump administration has requested information from China. As a member of Congress, what kind of information would you like for China to provide right now to, for you to understand, for us to understand more about this outbreak?
We know the virus originated in Wuhan. Yeah, was it accidental from one of the wet markets jumping to humans?Yeah, there's these reports of State Department cables of potentially lax safety standards at some of the labs. You know, looking backwards and trying to blame one another and play politics doesn't help anyone. But let's actually understand where this virus came from, how it jumped to humans, and how it spread. That requires, if China wants to be a global leader, if they want to set an example for the world, they can't be secretive. Global leaders have to take responsibility for the good things and the bad things.And they have to work together with the entire global world. This is a chance for China to show its leadership by allowing people to come in and studying it and not hiding data and facts, because we want to make sure we understand this virus so it will help us recover, but we also want to prevent the next pandemic.
The COVID-19 outbreak began in China, but right now Beijing is conducting a widespread disinformation campaign to change that narrative. For example, a Chinese foreign ministry spokesperson took to Twitter to say that it may be the U.S. military brought the virus to Wuhan. What are your responses to these kind of spurious claims and unfounded conspiracy theories?
I think conspiracy theories, fake claims like,hey, it may have started in the United States or elsewhere, just don't help anything. You know, let's deal with the facts. Let's be adults about this. Disinformation, lack of transparency doesn't help anyone. And again, if China wants to be taken seriously as a global leader, it has to act the part.
So what kind of actions can the United States take to counter this disinformation or misinformation campaign?
Look, I think...Everyone in the scientific world and in the medical world and around the globe understands where this virus came from. That's fine. Let's figure out how this virus jumped to humans. Let's figure out how the virus spread so quickly, and let's better understand it. You know, that started in China. So they can do whatever disinformation they want, but that's not acting like an adult or a global leader.I don't think now's the time for the United States and China to get into a political war, but unfortunately you see some of that happening. I think this is a time for the two world's largest economies to work together, both to help each other's countries, but also the world is going to need this as this virus spreads to the Southern Hemisphere and other places.
Many foreign policy observers are saying that the era of U.S.-China cooperation is over. You mentioned a part of that, that you would like to see some cooperation. Do you agree with that kind of assessment?
I think the relationship between the United States and China, and really the Western world and a large part of the world in China, is going to be different as we come out of this pandemic. Now, China has a role in defining, you know, what that relationship is.If they solely act in a dishonest lack transparency, and don't help the rest of the world combat this virus, then I think it'll be a very different relationship. On the other hand, if they show leadership, if they work with the rest of the Western world and the developing world, and if they have transparency so we can understand the pandemic and the virus that's in front of us, then you know what, maybe it will, you know, allow them to show that they are that global leader.
What message would you like to send to our audience in China?
You know, to the audience in China, a virus doesn't understand borders. It doesn't understand your religion, the color of your skin. This is a virus, and it's affected the entire planet. I'm not here to, as a doctor and a member of Congress, I'm not here to place blame anywhere, but I am here to express concern that we have to work together to understand this virus, which killed a lot of Chinese nationals, but also to help prepare and prevent the next virus. So the world is in this together, and this is the time for China to step up its leadership, work with the rest of the world, and be transparent so we have a good understanding of what happened.
Thank you so much, Congressman Barra, for your time and speaking with Voice of America.
美国总统特朗普说，他无法核实朝鲜最高领导人金正恩的健康情况，不过他祝愿金正恩平安。另外，他还表示，他已经获得了有关新冠病毒是否来自中国武汉病毒实验室的充分情报。最后，他说，他将在星期三签署暂停移民60天的行政命令。我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
根据韩国以及美国媒体的报道，朝鲜最高领导人金正恩在医院当中动完手术之后，目前情况危急。星期二的时候呢，白宫的国家安全顾问阿布莱恩在白宫当中接受媒体访问的时候表示，他并没有确认也没有否认这项报道，只说呢，美国方面会继续密切观察局势。而特朗普总统在星期二晚上的白宫新闻简报会上呢，也是说没有办法确认金正恩现在的情况，但是呢，他住院金正恩平安。我们看一下特朗普总统在白宫当中是怎么说的。
Well, these are reports that came out, and we don't know. We don't know. I've had a very good relationship with him. I wouldn't, you know, I can only say this. I wish him well, because if he is in the kind of condition that the reports say, that the news is saying, that would be a, that's a very serious condition, as you know. But I wish him well.We've had a good relationship. I've said it, I've said it many times. If somebody else were in this position, we would have been right now at war with North Korea. And we're not at war, and we're nowhere close to war with North Korea. So I just have to say to Kim Jong-un, I wish him very, you know, good luck. Good luck. I mean, they came out with very, very serious medical reports. Nobody's confirmed that. It was CNN that came out. So when CNN comes out with a report,I don't place too much credence in it.
那么截至美国时间4月22号星期三的中午为止呢，美国境内感染了新型冠状病毒的人数大约达到了83万人，而死亡人数呢，则大约是46000人。那在白宫的新型冠状病毒疫情的简报会上呢，特朗普总统被问到美国的情报部门是否已经查出来到底这个病毒是不是来自武汉的实验室，对此呢，特朗普总统做出了回应。
First of all, China, have U.S. intelligence analysts told you that they think that the virus escaped from a Chinese research lab, that it was
I can't tell you that. Have U.S. intelligence agents told me? I mean, what kind of a question is that?
Do you feel
I can't.
That,
you want me to tell you? Oh, let me tell you what they told me. Look, they told me plenty. They told me plenty.
那特朗普总统呢，在星期一的晚上借由他的推特表示说呢，为了因应新型冠状病毒给美国经济带来的冲击，他将会宣布暂停移民进入美国。那么呢，在星期二的时候，他就表示说，现在这个行政命令正在撰写，预计在星期三的时候将会签署，并且公布更多的细节。那么在星期二晚上的白宫新闻简报会上呢，特朗普总统表示，这个行政命令将会影响到申请绿卡的人。我们看一下特朗普总统在白宫针对限制这个移民以及绿卡是怎么说的。
Therefore, in order to protect American workers, I will be issuing a temporary suspension of immigration into the United States. You heard about that last night. By pausing immigration, we'll help put unemployed Americans first in line for jobs as America reopens. So important. It would be wrong and unjust for Americans laid off by the virus to be replaced with new immigrant labor flown in from abroad. We must first take care of the American worker, take care of the American worker. This pause will be in effect for 60 days, after which the need for any extension or modification will be evaluated by myself and a group of people based on economic conditions at the time. This order will only apply to individuals seeking a permanent residency. In other words, those receiving green cards, big factor, will not apply to those entering on a temporary basis. As we move forward, we'll examine what additional immigration-related measures should be put in place to protect U.S. workers.
而根据福克斯新闻网的报道呢，其实因为疫情的关系，美国的国务院已经停止这个所有的签证的申请好几个礼拜了。而特朗普总统呢，也以疫情的理由来拒绝接纳难民，包括逃难而来的小孩或儿童。与此同时呢，几个南方州虽然没有达到白宫新型冠状病毒工作小组规定的重启经济活动的第一阶段标准，但是呢，现在都已经准备要重新开放经济活动了。不过对此呢，许多的当地官员还有卫生专家都对此表示担心。而美国疾病预防与管制中心 CDC 的主任雷德菲尔德则表示，预计呢今年的冬天可能会爆发第二波的疫情，而且呢情况会比第一波的疫情还来得更加严重。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫前的报道。
国际人权组织国际特赦发表的年度报告显示，过去一年来全球执行死刑的数量是十年来最低的，不过中国的数量仍然是最多。我们来看报道。
国际特赦组织的报告说，2019年五个执行死刑最多的国家依次是中国，有至少上千人，伊朗、沙特阿拉伯、伊拉克和埃及。报告表示，无法获得中国官方执行死刑人数的统计，因为这类数字在中国仍然保密。不过国际特赦相信应该是数以千计。国际特赦还称，其他一些主要死刑国家，包括伊朗、朝鲜和越南等，继续掩藏各自使用死刑的情况，限制外界获取执行死刑的信息。国际特赦强调，缺乏透明度的情况使得确认许多国家的执行死刑人数非常困难，相信具体执行死刑人数应当更高。报告表示，全球有106个国家从法律上废除了所有犯罪行为的死刑惩罚，142个国家从法律及执行层面都取消了死刑。美国之音新闻报道。
记者无国界组织最近发布了2020世界新闻自由指数报告，其中挪威荣登榜首，而中国排在第177名。来看报道。
在今年新闻自由度排名的180个国家中，挪威继续荣登榜首，这是挪威连续4年获得这一荣誉。接下来是芬兰、丹麦、瑞典和荷兰。在前10名中，欧洲国家占了7个，中国排名第177位，倒数第4，与厄立特里亚、土库曼斯坦、朝鲜排在最后4名。这份报告说，这次排名与部分国家在新冠疫情中打压媒体自由的程度有直接关联。排名第117的中国和排名第173的伊朗都在疫情爆发初期在国内进行了广泛的内容与信息审查。无国界记者组织表示，中国当局在2020年2月逮捕了至少3名公民记者，阻止他们报道疫情真相。据该组织统计，目前中国是全球关押记者最多的国家，大约有100人，绝大多数是维吾尔人。无国界记者秘书长德洛瓦说，新冠疫情给威权政府一个施行震撼主义的机会，让他们假借防控疫情的名义，通过一些平常无法实行的措施。这份报告对中国疫情爆发初期压制信息的做法提出了批评。报告认为，如果中国的新闻记者有自由报道的权利，这次全球大流行是可以避免的，或者至少不会像现在这样惨烈。无国界记者组织英国分部主任瑞贝卡·温森特在接受 CNN 采访的时候表示，如果中国有新闻自由，如果那些吹哨人不被封杀，那么这场大流行就有可能得以阻止，而不会发展成现在的病毒大流行。温森特说，人们往往只是从理论上谈论新闻自由，但这次却表明新闻自由有时候是造成真实的影响的，它能够影响到我们的健康。美国之音综合报道。
新发布的一项民意调查显示，有2/3的美国人对中国持负面态度，而有将近90%的美国人认为中国是一种威胁。我们来看报道。
皮尤研究中心星期二发布的这份民调指出，约66%的受访美国人对中国持负面看法，创下皮尤自2005年开始此项调查以来的最高水平。调查还发现，约90%的美国人将中国的影响力和实力视为一种威胁，其中62%的人认为这是主要威胁。皮尤中心称，贸易赤字等经济因素仍然是美国公众关注的关键问题。其他问题包括中国的人权政策和环境恶化，也让美国人感到担忧。皮尤中心的这项调查从3月3日至3月29日对1000名成年人进行了民意调查。从党派来看，72%的共和党人对中国持负面态度，民主党人对中国持负面看法的则为62%。此外，美国人对中国国家主席习近平的信心也处于历史低点。大约70%的受访者表示，对习近平在国际事务中做正确的事情没有信心。只有22%的人说他们对中国领导人有信心，这一数字较去年下降了15个百分点。美国之音新闻报道。
给美国的食品供应链带来了冲击，有好几家肉类加工厂接连因为疫情而关闭，引发了人们对于猪肉供给以及价格的担忧。与此同时，已经经历了2年中美贸易战的美国猪农们现在也面临前所未有的挑战。我们来看美国之音记者卡拉和王平的报道。
新冠疫情持续蔓延，泰森、史密斯菲尔德等食品加工企业在多个州的工厂接连关闭，导致有关肉类供给的担忧。
I want to assure you, the American food supply is strong, resilient, and safe.
美国猪肉生产者协会表示，目前猪肉加工厂仍然维持着93%的产能，目前消费者不用担心猪肉供给的问题。但对于猪肉的生产者来说，新冠疫情无疑使行业困境雪上加霜。
U.S. pork producers have been experiencing a labor shortage for some time. We just don't have enough available workers in our plant communities and in our hog farm communities. And then you have COVID happens and the crisis begins, and that just exacerbates the existing labor situation with plant closures, rising worker absenteeism.Is resulting in even more restricted plant capacity, which means hogs are backing up on farms. They have nowhere to be marketed.
餐厅关门导致消耗骤减，加工厂关闭，多地农作物和农产品滞销堆积， 对猪农来说，最大的悲剧就是牲畜无处可去。
That's the tragedy in all this, is that there is nowhere else for them to go. And so farmers are doing everything they can to try to make space on their farms. You know, we're changing the ingredients in the feed that we're feeding our hogs to try to get them to not grow quite as fast, but you can't stop them from growing completely. And then we're trying to hold back the younger pigs and not move them right away.
违背生产常规的措施效果有限，很快这些猪就会超过屠宰场愿意接收的重量，变得一文不值，牲畜占用的空间也会越来越大，给安全卫生造成隐患。普斯汀说，牲畜的健康是猪农的红线，顶多再有2-4周的时间，如果情况仍未好转，猪农将不得不采取极端措施。
The worst case scenario that most producers don't even want to really think about would be producers would have to euthanize some of the pigs on their farm. But that would literally break the hearts of producers who would have to do that, because we've spent a lot of time and effort raising these animals and keeping them healthy, and in order for them to provide food for people, and that just euthanizing a perfectly good pig goes against everything that producers stand for.
但面临财政困境的猪农别无选择。年初，一系列贸易协定签署，关税降低。猪肉生产者协会原本预计每头猪可以让猪农净赚$10。然而，新冠疫情爆发后，爱荷华大学经济学家保守估算，今年猪农将继续亏损，每头猪损失$37。
Things were starting to pick up, and prices had recovered, and producers were finally able to kind of start to make a little money again. And then everything with the coronavirus started, and now things are worse than they ever were before.So the reality is a lot of producers were already stretched pretty thin over the last couple of years, and so they don't have a lot of cushion to weather another big problem like this.
普斯汀的家庭农场预计今年的损失要超过$1,000,000，全美约60,000个养猪农场总计损失约$500,000,000。门罗认为，参考现在的疫情影响范围，实际损失将远大于这个数字。
If you go through a sustained period of time like we're having right now, and if we don't address and extend a lifeline to hog farmers who are in a dire situation right now, many of them will go out of business, and that could over time result in higher prices for consumers. So that's not a good thing. And we're looking at doing.Without immediate steps to provide financial aid and massive USDA purchases of pork, we're looking at doing long-term damage to a very, very competitive farm sector in the United States.
农业部承诺大量购买猪肉，对猪农发放$16亿的补贴。然而，这对弥补猪肉行业面临的损失仍然是杯水车薪。美国之音王平、卡拉，华盛顿报道。
4月22日是世界地球日，而今年的地球日有一些不同寻常。由于人们都待在家里，防止新冠病毒的传播，野生动物的活动增加了，有些地方的空气质量也上升了。来看报道。
在威尔士小镇兰迪诺德，山羊把持了道路。当局采取的封锁措施在很大程度上清除了交通和街道上的人流，因此自然界得到蓬勃发展。一项未经计划的大型实验正在改变地球。随着世界各地的人们为防止新冠病毒传播而待在家里，动物开始出现在他们经常不去冒险的地方。一只野生美洲豹在智利圣地亚哥四处寻觅，土狼在旧金山的金门大桥观景台徘徊。往常那里可是游客云集的圣地。由于人类干扰和灯光污染的减少，世界各地的海龟都敢于在曾经避之不及的海滩上产卵。大约10年来，名为丽龟的海龟第一次在印度孟加拉湾的海岸旁筑巢，这让科学家们充满希望。对于濒危动物来说，它们将在繁殖季节取得巨大成功。
It is giving a unique insight into the impacts that we humans haveupon the environment in many ways. We are beginning to see wildlife that we are not expected to be there. We are seeing clear skies. We're seeing views of mountains that only our grandparents told us about. We're seeing a reduction of pollution. It is giving us this quite extraordinary insight into just how much of a mess we humans are making of our beautiful planet.
新德里令人窒息的雾霾停止了，那是地球上污染最严重的城市之一。印度几十年来被锁在雾霾中的风景也开始显露出来。美国东北部的二氧化氮污染下降了 30%， 罗马的空气污染水平同比下降了一半以上。
One of the problems that we have is this sort of creeping progression of environmental degradation. It gets worse and we get worse. And this has given us opportunity to magically see how much better it could be. And I hope we'll learn the lessons from that. It won't be easy, but it will tell us what we could achieve if we really put our minds to it.
研究人员说，他们渴望探索杂草、昆虫、降雨形态、噪声和光线污染、云层，甚至每天冷热气温的峰值。最明显的变化是空气更加清洁。美国国家航空航天局和其他机构注意到较传统的空气污染物，例如二氧化氮、雾霾和有害微粒的急剧下降，在车流量大幅减少之后。 从波士顿到华盛顿的美国95号洲际公路上的空气，是自2005年以来最清新的。中国的空气污染状况自12月以来也有所改善。美国之音电视报道。今天我们一起去认识一下纽约的一名出租车司机和两名杂货店老板。尽管在新冠疫情的冲击之下，他们不得不坚守岗位。我们一起去看一看。 在新冠疫情大流行之前，美国最嘈杂的城市纽约也经常是人们关注的焦点。突然，新冠病毒让他全部关闭。尼古拉·亨特是一名出租车司机，他仍旧在空旷的街道上行驶，为的是发现屈指可数的要继续上班的人。
I used to have like 20 plus customers a day. Now I have 5, 6, 7. So I used to make, you know, list. Easy, $300 a day plus. Now, if I make 100, I can be lucky.
这位63岁的老人开出租车已经超过30年了。这些日子，他得花1个多小时才能得到第一笔车费。不过他知道在哪里可以找到生意，去西奈山医院。
Hospital workers, they change at between 7 and 8 p.m. So once you finish with those last jobs, one or two, if you are lucky, you can get two or one. But then it's no reason to stay on the street because there's nobody.
Around 59th Street.
这座城市传奇的交通几乎消失，没有白领在傍晚高峰时段招呼他，也没有人群在球赛或其他活动后赶路回家。但他说他必须生活，养家糊口。 他说他等不及政府救济，因为不知道政府救济什么时候能够发下来。跟亨特不同的是，巴蒂斯达兄弟不了解他们杂货店对社区邻里有多重要，直到一切开始停摆才有所领悟。
There was a man that called us 2 days ago. Everything is closed. He's like, I don't know what I will do without you. The man's 85 years old. So we're like, you know what? Even if we close down, if I have to go to my house and cook food for you, I'll do it for you.
多年来。 纽约的街角商店一直是方便的购物场所，从洗洁精到芝士汉堡，什么都有。It's
been ghost town. Like a lot of people used to come in. You know, the workers from the hardware store, plumbing supplies, all the offices around here. They used to come in for lunchtime and breakfast. And like you don't get that kind of crowd no more.
兄弟俩说，他们的营业额下降了 30%到40%， 可他们感到从没有跟社区如此的亲近。 美国之音记者迪亚洛报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容。感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。